Cory Booker made headlines in 2002 when at the age of 32, he became one of the youngest people to run for mayor of Newark. Though he lost that first race, Booker went on to be the city's mayor from 2006 to 2013 before becoming a U.S. senator representing New Jersey. The former Stanford football player joins us this morning to talk about his political career so far, his endorsement of Hillary Clinton, his new book, United, Thoughts on Finding Common Ground and Advancing the Common Good, and what he thinks it will take to get both sides of the aisle working together. It is a great pleasure to welcome Senator Cory Booker to the roundtable this morning. Senator, thank you very much for being
with us.
Thank
you. It's a privilege to be on. Thank you.
So when you look at this book that is titled United, and then you look at what is happening in our current political scene and the race for president 2016, it seems like United may not be the first word that would pop into our mind of what we're seeing.
I don't think it is. And look, a lot of folks, and one of the reasons I wrote the book is that a lot of folks were lamenting to me when I was running for Senate or when I've traveled across the country that we are so divided, that we're not sort of heralding those founding ideals from our country when, in our Declaration of Independence, if you read it, it's really a declaration of interdependence when we pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, when we understand that the only way for this country to truly go far is not to be a house divided, but to find that common ground amidst our great diversity and understanding that our differences matter, but our country matters more. But the good news is that I think that spirit is there in this country, and we need to start heralding it, celebrating it, and hopefully having it affect more deeply our politics so that we select for and really create an aspiration for people in the political world to manifest those ideals.
So let me ask a rather diagnostic question, which is, given the vein that Donald Trump seems to have found and tapped into, how do we then, and you look at that and you look at the message that he has and the multiple messages that he has, and while they do not seem to, controversy does not seem to stick, and the more outrageous, the better. My question is not so much about him specifically, but the thoughts on how that goes to, as you say in the subtitle of the book, advancing the common good and finding that common ground.
Well, you know, we are a nation that has had lots of folks who've come out, risen with outrageous commentary. We've seen a lot of demagoguery. We've seen a lot of folks who wield patriotism not as a uniting force, but as a sword to condemn others who are not as great in their love of America as me. And the question has always got to be, what do we do in response to that? Do we check out? Do we surrender to cynicism? And I believe that cynicism is a refuge for cowards. Or do we take up or use our power? Remember, Alice Walker, the great author, said that the most common way we give up our power is not realizing we have it in the first place. And I would say we have to make a choice to accept things as they are or take responsibility for changing them. I really do believe the repentance that King talked about when he said, we're going to have to repent in this day and age, not for the vitriolic words and violent actions of the bad people, but the appalling silence and inaction of the good people. And so what I celebrate in my book is an antidote to what's going on. It's not saying, hey, we need somebody to rise up and counter the divisive demagoguery that's out there. I talk first about what we each have to do and the lessons I've learned from some extraordinarily humble heroes who changed their community, their neighborhood, and ultimately sent ripples out that, as I show a couple times, that could change the entire country. And so we can't give in at this time to letting it frustrate us. We have to choose now more than ever to match that darkness with our light, to match those hateful words with ones that are about love. And remember, patriotism is love of country, which necessitates loving countrymen and women.
Do you think, something you said just struck me, which is about cynicism being the tool of a coward. Is that fully accurate in the sense that many of us are cynical because, quite frankly, we've been screwed a lot?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is something I confront head on in the book. You know, skepticism is great. A quick, careful examination. But cynicism is sort of like the drawing up of your hands and saying, I can't do anything. And that point you just made there about getting screwed a lot, I go into the book in this one section about the difference between love and tolerance. Tolerance being a cynical state of mind that we're just stumping each other's right to be different. If you disappear from the face of the earth, I'm no better or worse off. That love, again, that idea of patriotism, necessitates to understand that we need each other, that there's value in each other. Now, the challenge with loving, as I talk about in the book and demonstrate, is that, you know, it necessitates, when you love courageously, you are going to get hurt. You're going to get your heart broken. It's the harder way to go. But as right. Kennedy said about the moon, you know, we didn't go there because it was easy. We did it because it was hard. And so, yeah, I'm sorry. When you live with that kind of courageous love and put yourself out there, I'm sorry. There are going to be times that you're going to be broken. And in this book, I explore some of the most broken I've ever been in my life, where I was picked up by, again, people who were so wise in understanding that hope itself does not exist in the abstract. Hope is saying that despair will never have the last word, and that people who are great heroes of hope, they confront the wretchedness and the darkness of our country and the times that they've been let down, but yet they still make the active choice to be hopeful about America. And we are here because of folks who, in the midst of slavery, they would never live to see abolition, but they still believed. Or those people who worked for basic workers' rights, who not only lost their livelihoods, but many of them lost their lives, but they never gave up that active hope for our country. And so we are citizens who inherited that hopefulness. We are here because of that conspiracy of love in the past. And so how will we choose to live? Will we give in and give up and be cynical? Or us, who face less obstacles and odds than our ancestors, will we get up every single day determined that amidst darkness we're still going to choose to be agents of light in our country, and we're not going to give in, not just to cynicism, but the meanness. We're not going to give in to this idea that to be strong you have to be mean, or to be tough you have to be cruel, and that we're going to evidence the best of our American values that are celebrated if you really look at our history and what's advanced us. And the last thing I'll say to that is, you know, people tend to get distracted by very important values like rugged individualism and self-reliance. But I'm sorry, rugged individualism didn't get us to the moon. Self-reliance didn't map the human genome or build our roads and bridges. To do those things, we had to find ways to work past cynicism, to reach out to each other, even though sometimes we get burned, and to work together as a country.
As I mentioned in the introduction, you have endorsed Hillary Clinton. You have been out on the stump. What do you make of the victory in Nevada? And as far as the campaign goes, does that provide needed momentum?
Yeah, look, I was remarkably moved by, you know, early private conversations I had with Secretary Clinton about her candidacy, when she almost predictably said to me, in a prescient way, said to me, Corey, this is not going to be an easy campaign. She said that nobody walks into the nomination, that I'm going to have to earn this, and it's going to be tough. And I'm very happy that she had knew that she was going to have to find ways to connect with voters and earn them. And I'm happy to see that, you know, my mom and dad moved to Nevada. I have aunts, uncles, family members that caucused for Secretary Clinton and gave me great, you know, blow-by-blow feedback. So I'm happy that she's got some momentum. I'm confident I'll be in South Carolina later this week campaigning for her there. But this is going to be a tough, long slog, and every state we're going to work hard to earn. And I'm confident that in the end she'll emerge victorious. But she's being given a very spirited challenge by one of my colleagues and somebody that I love very much, Bernie Sanders. But she knows she's going to have to earn this.
What do you think it is about Bernie Sanders and his message that has struck Accord and in doing so has changed the message even somewhat of Secretary Clinton?
Well, you know, look, I appreciate that Secretary Clinton is working hard to connect, but, you know, I live in Newark, New Jersey. Obviously, I represent the whole state, but I come home and I see urgencies every day that stir my soul to work hard. And when I connect with Secretary Clinton, and challenge her on policy. You know, I love the fact that her first policy speech was about criminal justice reform, which is really a cancer on the soul of our country, that we've got, you know, 5% of the globe's population, but one out of every four imprisoned people on the planet Earth is in this country, where we spend trillions of dollars locking up nonviolent drug offenders, many of whom have mental health challenges, who have addictions. Overwhelmingly, we lock up the poor and minority in this country. So I say that to say that I appreciate Bernie Sanders. I know him well. I love him. But the reality is when it comes to understanding the policy nuances, not only what needs to be done, but the strategy to get things done, I think that when you plug into that with Secretary Clinton, there's nobody more prepared, more ready to take on the challenges of moving the needle on issues that really matter to Americans.
Ultimately, how, when you look at this race, and let me go back to the Donald Trump question. Does, and I know Hillary Clinton has said over the weekend that she's not looking that far, but do you believe that he will ultimately be the candidate, or that there will be someone who will emerge in the next few weeks?
I have gotten the Republican side of this, and I just have to give you that disclaimer. Every prediction I've made, and I've never been so wrong. Everything I'm thinking.
Well, you're not alone. You're not alone.
I mean, I watched. I could tell you how cocky I was in August. Sitting around a table with people, Donald Trump had just insulted a war hero, a prisoner of war, in John McCain. And I snidely said, his 15 minutes of fame is up. And that was August. And it's been not just 15 minutes, it's been hours, days, months, and he's maintained his position. So I don't know what's going to happen over there. I do know that when I hear people talk about Latinos or Muslims, when I hear people talk about the core values that I believe in this country, a country of acceptance, a country of love, a country that has modeled the best of human values for the planet Earth, the way I hear him talk is something that I'm determined to work against, not just politically, but in the values that I try to evidence in this country.
Rumor has it you're on the short, you're on a list for Supreme Court justice.
And I call my mom right away when those conversations start. It's very flattering. to score mom points, I will take it. But the reality is, I am the senator for the state of New Jersey. I love my job. I will remain in this job. I'm not going to the Supreme Court.
Cory Booker, a great pleasure to have you on the program. The name of the book is United. Senator Booker, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with
us. Thank you.
Thank you.
No,
again,
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, United, Thoughts on Finding Common Ground and Advancing the Common Good. Cory Booker is the junior U.S. Senator from the state of New Jersey. The book is published by Ballantine. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.